Hello guys, welcome to a video blog conversation between the meeting of the minds, two schizophrenics. Sounds good, huh, Josh? Okay, he says yes.
Sounds good.
We'll put something up. We're just going to chat for about an hour and a half or so. And whatever happens, happens. So, join us and have fun. Maybe learn something about yourself or other people. And we're here to advocate for mental health and equality, justice, everything else, baby. Here we go. Otherwise, on the Real Me podcast with your host, Jonathan Harnish, myself,
hey,
and my good buddy,
Josh
Lewis. Josh, here we go. I'm Jonathan. We're here on the Real Me and You podcast. No preparation. We got video rolling. I'm wearing my necklaces, my certified schizo t-shirt. I just met Josh today. We're both schizophrenics. And we're just going to hang out and chat today. The meeting of the minds, two schizophrenics together. Here on the Real Me podcast, or the Real Me and You podcast, what have you. Also on Facebook at facebook.com/therealmepodcast. And as you might know, I'm from Portion Utopia and the blog and kind of on the net. Yeah. So last episode with my wife, the Real Me and You aspect, I finally have another guest than my wife. And say hello, I guess. And you introduce yourself if you would.
Hello. Josh. I'm Josh, 27. Diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic back when I was 18, and I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yep, and we're just on the outskirts here in the hot club, the infamous, famous hot club, as I like to think of it. And we just met today, I think you said, through a mutual...
We met through a mutual
psychiatrist.
Dr. F. Emailing back and forth with her for a lot of years now, and she told me about you and your story and your blogs, and I checked it out, and it was pretty cool and interesting, and it was nice to know that, you know, there is like a community of mental health people going through all that kind of stuff. And today's the first day we met. We're in Corrales, and it's really nice out here.
So we're outside smoking cigs, and we thought, why not do a podcast? Because last time I said I probably won't be back, but I just wanted to do another one because I kind of owe you guys, you know? So we basically just been talking, been here like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
Shut them around the farm, the animals and things, and... I guess I wanted to start off by, you know, this podcast is under mental health category and all that. I mentioned facebook.com/therealmepodcast. No need to like it, just we're up there. There's no like website. Oh, we're archived on therealme.podbean.com. You can also save it to your home screen if you have an iPhone, you know, with Safari or something like that, like I do myself. And unless you've downloaded or had subscribed to this podcast from the get-go or early on, you know, there's really just the one episode, last one, 101 from January. I accidentally deleted the ones off iTunes. So they're on the archive site at podbean.com. And truly, you can search my name on the net for anything that I might do. Nonetheless, I thought, first of all, as I'm often asked through Portion Utopia and other things, other facets online, for example, and I mentioned it in the documentary film Being a Mentally Ill Artist, Being a Mentally Ill Artist, filmed last year, 2012. Lost my thought. There we go. Come back, Jonathan. oh yeah, what is Schizophrenics 2 Together talk about? That was one question I responded to in that one film I did. And like, we'd just been talking about stuff like anyone else. Not like only about, oh, hey man, I'm hallucinating. Hey man, the cops are out to get me. The FBI. It's like, we could be. The two of us aren't psychotic right now. It's been really fun meeting Josh for the first time in person. And again, because we did a slight like 1 minute take before this one. It is the 11th of August, 2013. Actually, I think last time I might have said 12. Anyway.
We got it right this time.
Yeah, because I like to timestamp these. But I'll take my time putting this up there for you guys. But, yeah, what did you have in mind? Relationship stuff or something? Oh, here's the ashtray, man.
I mean, anything really that like everybody else goes through, but how we go through it, like in our perspective, you know what I mean? Like everything from like friendships, relationships, going outside in the real world, going to grocery stores, anything really. I mean, anything's on the table. And just how like we see the world like differently, you know what I mean? Like every single aspect of like from the moment you wake up to you fall asleep is a little bit different, if not a lot different, than just your average Joe.
Totally, man. It's so bizarre having not done this in such a long time. I forget the whole technique. And usually I might have at least some ideas for what to talk about. But I'm at a loss for words, man, because I just want to enjoy my day. And I feel kind of contrived, man. I don't know, like, sometimes this happens on this podcast. I get like a depression episode, like within the episode.
You know,
podcast.
I would even say like,
it's weird.
Even benzos like clonazepam or Xanax,
yeah,
can cause like depression too.
What the heck? The screensaver went on? Oh God. Give me a sec, guys. Gonna turn the screensaver on for later. Nobody's gonna really listen to this, man. Okay, what am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. Hold on, screensaver desktop. I'm gonna turn it to an hour or something. Yeah. I'm gonna have to cut this shit up. Oh, I almost closed that. Okay. I still don't want to do this.
You don't want
to? Just chill. I mean, do it. We'll just chill.
Yeah, let's just chill.
Dude, because I don't want to, like... There's nothing in me to talk about mental health today. Like, I have nothing, like, new to say or anything to say about it.
We just have, like, a
like,
almost chill sesh.
If you just want to jump, like...
Okay.
On the air, it's... I don't know. I was more like happy just, I don't know, just hanging out outside and stuff. But
well, yeah.
Sorry, it's just been a long time since I've been on the air.
No worries, man. No worries.
I'm not nervous. I don't feel like prepared or like I don't feel like doing like filming and doing. I don't know. I feel like organizing. Organizing things and like my office and things.
Yeah, man, whatever you want to do.
But 8 minutes or so. Would you like to just talk about your experiences?
Sure.
Bro, you want to go solo on here?
We can.
What? I mean, we'll just keep all this on, bro.
Okay.
Like, possibly. I'll see how it comes out, but.
Well, yeah, I don't know, I have, like, friends.
Let me leave the room, bro. Do you go solo? You wanna?
Sure.
Take over, guest host.
Okay.
Because, you know, then, dude, check it, guys. We're going over a new idea for this cast. So I'm going to take a leave of absence. Jonathan Harnish, The Real Me Podcast, 11th of August, 2013. We're in New Mexico. Josh and I are both schizophrenics with paranoid tendencies, and we're recovered. We've just been hanging out all day talking, but normal stuff. Of course, see a little bit of the illness about common symptoms and things. We basically did like two test takes, myself not being on the air doing anything online. My Twitter is auto-fed and everything else. Josh, my good friend now, even though we just met today in person for the first time through a mutual psychiatrist, we'll just call her Dr. F. And it's episode 102, I believe. And this one is going to be up on iTunes. Other than that, therealme.podbean.com is where it's archived. Your iPhone, for example, you can save that on Safari down your home screen. It kind of is like mimics an app. And for all the rest of the episodes, because iTunes, I accidentally had deleted everything, I think, except the last one. Feeding to iTunes unless you had subscribed like at a much earlier date. So I'm just going to kind of chill and hang around. But I also feel that if Josh stays alone, or so to speak, like without, my goal is, because I don't feel like today's a real podcast talking about mental health day, just for me. I'm just kind of rolling with the day. It's been great. But I thought, hey, it's two schizophrenics. You know, we are. I think we're mentally ill. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Do you get offended when people call you, like, the word crazy? Just the word crazy.
No.
Yeah, because like, that's a big topic, like, on Twitter lately.
Desensitized, man.
I mean, it's not politically correct, but it's more like the sneer of it, or, like, you know, when it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, so I think we should do, like, a profile. But, basically, I just had asked Josh to, like, kind of guest, or, what's the word? Yeah, guest host for me. I'm Jonathan Harnish. And I'm going to step out. We're on video, too. So we'll get it out to you. And run it, Josh. Take it over, man.
All right, I'm just trying to look up.
Get in front of the cam and...
Yeah.
And bust it out, man.
All right, I'm just trying to look
and
up.
And you can smoke cigarettes in here, whatever you want, man, dude.
Cool, yeah, man.
Please, man.
Thank you.
The camera's all backwards. No, it's cool. Just, yo!
All right, so I'm looking up, like, the symptoms I wrote down on my phone that I submitted to Social Security for disability benefits. So it's like a lot of shit. Let's see. And I'm memorable. Anyway, basically, like, things that I've gone through in the past, like, 9 years, I would say, like, normal schizophrenic type stuff. There's been voices, not like overwhelmingly, and like, delusions, weird thought patterns. Lot of anxiety. Every day, like, fluctuates on all those levels. Like every day you'll have, if you're a schizophrenic, like, differing and rising and lowering levels of, like, paranoia, anxiety, delusions and stuff like that. And I guess, like, of what voices sound like, at least to me, it's just, like, a thought in your head that's kind of, like, a little bit louder. Like, you can hear it louder. It's not, like, someone, like, commanding me or telling me, like, what to do. It's just, I don't know, like, in my experience, it's, like, a memory of, like, or, like, someone I know just kind of, like, saying something, and I can just hear it in my head. And that's, like, the little bit of voices I've had. I don't hear it, like, every day or anything. But I used to get, like, delusions, like, people in my life, We're all like paid actors, like a reality TV show, like the Truman Show, that Jim Carrey movie. And like when I used to listen to the radio, I used to think like the songs were like meant just specifically for me, and it was like trying to tell me something, like a grander message, you know, from like a higher like universal energy. I used to think the number 11 was following me a lot. Like a lot of my old friends would, I think, remember me like pointing that out, like when I'd see it places. Just stuff like that and like weird stuff. We can kind of know what's going on when it's happening. Like it's not, you know, really what is truth, you know, what's going on in your head, and you kind of self-talk your way out of it. But yeah, I mean, schizophrenia is pretty much just like a big magnifying glass, like on everything, like every emotion, everything you do. It's just like more intense and extreme to like every aspect. And I mean, I have like an obsessive personality where if I get into something, I really get into it. So that's where like addiction came with the early days of like smoking marijuana. I like really got into it, and I would function when I was only stoned. I could go to work stones, do everything better. And then I remember the moment like I first clicked to like schizophrenic. I was getting stoned in my old friend's apartment. We were in a band together. We're all hanging out, and I just got like stuck in my head one time and couldn't escape. I just like became like overly introverted, even more than before. But it felt like it had been building my whole life. Like growing up like as a shy, quiet kid, never really talking that much. And then, I don't know, like after I got stoned, and I got stuck in my head, I kept getting stoned time after time. And that mutual contact Jonathan talks about, Dr. F, would always tell me, you know, how many times do you have to hit your head against the wall to realize it hurts? Like what she's saying is like, how many times do you have to do what you know is, you know, bad for you before you learn the lesson? And I even still smoked marijuana up to this year. I think last time was like in February. And I've dabbled like in other drugs too, but I don't know if I want to talk about that. But yeah, now I'm like really more balanced on my medication. It took like 9 years of like different combinations and dosages to really get and zone in on what really works. And it sucks like trying to wait it out and figure out what's going to work for you, because it takes like, I don't know, like 2 weeks for each dose and med to like really kick in. So definitely there was a lot of tough times and like things where it was like noticeably wrong. Like I remember this one trip in California on my 20th birthday. I was supposed to see Taking Back Sunday and Angels and Airwaves, this band, like these bands I liked a lot. And my meds that I was on at the time made me like fall asleep. Like as I was like, anytime I sat down or I was eating food, even like left in my mouth at a restaurant, and I just was so like drowsy, I couldn't really function. I had to miss the concert. I don't know, like meds, I would say it's like a key, and you have to find out which one works for you. Thanks, man.
It's your voice, you know.
Yeah.
And water for Josh.
And it, you gotta find what key opens up your gateway to like recovery, you know? But yeah, there's definitely a lot of stigmas about like schizophrenia. Like you only hear in the news about like violence and, you know, all that stuff. And those people, like 99.9% of the time, are like people that aren't taking their meds or not being treated properly at all. And I've been in public health since 2007. There's even like a lot of downfalls of public health that a lot of people don't know. Because when you hear stuff about like on the media about mentally ill people or something to do with mentally ill and like, you know, tragic events, you know, people would just say, well, throw them in, you know, like a health system and public health. But there's a lot of downfalls to public health. It's not the best. There's a lot of holes. There's a lot of things that aren't right about it, but there's also at the same time a lot of good things about it, and they really do treat you. It's just there's so many people that are trying to get help and little funding, and a lot of people don't know about that stuff.
Hey man, just wanted to join you.
Jonathan.
I think I had to get redressed and pop out my purple hat and everything.
Looks fresh, dude.
And then start just thinking about something. Like, not to interrupt you.
No, it's all good.
Felt like going on, you know, up to an hour. But I was just walking around through the other rooms and did not pick up on what you were talking about. I think it was about symptoms and things, or what people think about our conditions. Something like that. I didn't really overhear it too much.
Yeah, like what
people... So I'd catch up and then join in.
Like people's perspective, like what they think, like they, when they hear the word schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a negative projection, you know, and it's a scary word. I mean, people always think it's like a multiple personality, and it's not at all. That's like a completely different illness.
Does it sometimes feel like that for you? Like it does? It does for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
With two Tourette's, I have Tourette syndrome. It doesn't come out too bad, especially when I'm like being recorded by myself or something. When I'm in like a group of, like a Tourette support group, for example, we all like end up mimicking each other's tics, right? With the echolalia stuff and repeating and everything what other people are saying. And it's a lot of fun. Plus we have our own comfort zone. But since we've been chatting a good portion of the morning today, I believe we just talked about normal things, but also a little about our illness because we just met. But I thought, you know, what if other so-called normies were hearing us, like the content of what we're saying? A lot of it, like this whole thing, the thing we were talking a little bit about, semi kind of paranormal sort of stuff that happens, that might not be the best word with this condition, but I would tend to think that other people, it might not be a common conversation. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah.
They might understand what we're saying, but like,
they just
different
really
realities, dimensions, almost like the effects of, you know, illicit drugs might have. We might get those with our condition of whatever forms of schizophrenia that we might have. And everyone's experience with schizophrenia in particular, I just want to... That's my overall diagnosis. It's a spectrum disorder. So, I mean, there's a little bit of autism and things, just as much as I have a flight of thought, as I call it, like flight of ideas, but that's my thoughts. My flight of words. That's what I meant. Subject to subject. It's like, you know, that's the executive order thinking, like putting things in order.
Yeah.
Like when I talk often, like when I'm real sleep deprived, especially, because sleep is like the number one thing for me to just have an okay day, for example.
Yeah.
To get decent sleep, would you agree?
Clears you out when you get like a good, like solid chunk of sleep.
Because for me, like a lot of times, it still happens ever since kind of, like, I do think my schizophrenia has exacerbated, but in different ways, because in a lot of ways, I've gotten better. Like, if you've seen the movies online, I did I Am Jonathan, or Effing Wonderland, or Curse Word. Anyway, it was like the first version of it. You know, I've come a long way. I've lost actually over 100 pounds. But it is... To me, I always say this, but it's a fascinating illness. And I enjoy laughing at it in order to overcome it. even if I'm not like laughing about it, just like, well, actually, let me just say, the other day I was just having like flashbacks of trauma stuff. My schizophrenia is a lot rooted from trauma that literally might have even kind of, it partially caused the condition to occur. And I did have childhood onset, by the way. I just wasn't really kind of told, like, you have schizophrenia, therefore anything, this is what you do, this is what you might read. I just kind of was collecting. I have a dog tag, one of these necklaces under my shirt with the 13 diagnoses, access ones. It's all within a spectrum. I have no idea what I'm talking about because my ideas just go, but that's just me, anyone who knows me. Well,
let it flow, man.
Yeah, exactly, dude, because this is the real me. This is where I come for that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's difficult for other people, I think.
So when you were like a kid,
to
like,
put things in order when I'm talking. I might have one idea, but then, so if I say, let's do a podcast. Oh, you know, I haven't done a podcast in a while. But, oh, my friend's podcast, he did a radio show. Oh, and that friend, he's from California, and I used to live in California. And I actually just meant to say, I wanted to do a podcast with you, you know?
Yeah.
That happens with me, man.
When you were a kid, like, how did it feel, like, being that age? And, like how was, like, how extreme was it? Like, how'd you handle that? I mean, knowing, like, you were just so different from
most.
Well,
they first diagnosed me with Tourette's.
Okay.
And then, like, a Tourette spectrum kind of thing, which really was the schizophrenia. So, like, that diagnosis kind of came after Tourette's. Because Tourette's really occurred after I was medicated, actually on Haldol, 80 milligrams. Back in the 80s, they used to kind of do that, 70s especially.
It's like
the
over.
Film Awakenings, is, I think, has to do with that. Anyway, it was my Tourette's was more embarrassing because, you know, going through school, up through high school, then age 18, I mean, I was totally public, you know, came out, whatever you want to call it, with having Tourette's and schizophrenia. No, see, I think being a kid for anyone, even the most popular kids, you know, look at the film Dazed and Confused. Have you seen that?
Yep.
Linklater, we're talking, I have a poster of it somewhere in the other room, but two of them actually. But, you know, like, often, this might be a separate thought, who cares? People remember their childhood, their high school years, as like, oh, they were great, yeah, I played football. But you know what, everyone's like, they kind of glamorize, like, the past.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, because I was saying, I wish I had my life back like it was in Los Angeles, or New York, from.
Yeah.
And I was watching some old documentary footage I did on myself, documenting my life every day and stuff, mostly through video and film. And I love Super 8 cameras and high video, but I realized, no, I was just as desolate, lonely, and, you know, alone in my own world. But, okay, how did it feel as a kid going through this? I mean, people would say the word twitch or tick or on TV if there was any, you know, mention, whether it was the Howard Stern show, which is a little bit different, but just in a movie, like a fictional movie, I can't think of one off, or the news, so-and-so had Tourette syndrome. I mean, I would, like, cringe. I would get really embarrassed. Mainly because I didn't know, like, why I was hearing the voices. Why I was, like, repeating things that I heard 2 years prior. And had this, like, compulsion or obsession. You know, more of, I think, a compulsion. Or just, it was natural, though. You know, seeing these entities around me, which I knew weren't real, so to speak, but they would dictate my work. This makes sense. Like, for example, God, there's so many examples. Oh, that I wanted to say, actually ask you, because I don't know how people think. I've done a lot of reading in general on all sorts of stuff, but I think a lot in pictures, which I think is autistic kind of based. But my thoughts come in words. Like right now I'm hearing words. No, and a lot of times it's congestion, like a whole like auditorium full, like you can't really make it out.
Like actually auditory like words are coming in your head right now?
Yeah, and it's, I'm like, you know, 85% here with you, and there's like 12%. These are, again, kind of weird, but even that 12% that came from a voice, but like present with here, and the rest of it is like in a psychosis. Like there's like a level, like 0 to 100, and 0 is completely psychotic break with reality. 100 is normal level, like a person without schizophrenia or any mental health condition. Often I like to think of it like I'm, like to be honest, I feel out of body right now. Like I feel depersonalized, derealized. Are these words familiar?
Familiar, definitely. With, not right now.
Like I don't feel like I'm really here, or I know that I am and believe that I am.
It's kind of like a trip, like looking at like looking like where you're at, like what you're seeing and like where you are in person, but like in like a part of your brain, you're like, wow, am I
there's like trip? I see you, and I have dyslexia and some vision problems, but it's not, I don't actually see clouds around you, and it's not like some new age like kind of aura thing. I just, there's some little 10% of my perception. It's so hard to, that's why I think this, they can't find the cure, because we can't explain this stuff really.
Yeah.
But there's like, you know, because I think if we, you know, does that make sense? Like, but there's like a layer, like right now in the moment, there's like a layer of it. It's like a slut, you can see right through it, like a plastic drapery visually, but also just like all together. I'm kind of in two worlds or realities at once. At the same time, I'm completely aware of that.
Yeah.
And I don't literally see like clouds or fog around your head and they're all around. But it feels as if I see that. It's more of perception, not the visual actuality. It's so hard to explain, man.
It is hard to explain.
But I'm also feel grounded here. At least, I guess because I'm aware I have schizophrenia. We're talking about it right now. But also, I don't know. I'm on a semi LSD trip. I mean, kind of. But I mentioned in one of my films, Momentum and Mental Health or something like that. I believe it's on YouTube somewhere. And like I lose thoughts all the time too. But that's the thing that gets sucked out of your head. Like, that's what just happened. I totally forget what I was talking about. I remember the cloud thing. That's it.
I get
it's
that
so
too.
Bizarre, man.
Yeah. Like you'll have like a wealth
this
of
is,
like
this
things
cool.
on
this
your
is
mind.
Kind of cool now. I'm feeling. I haven't done this podcast in like since January, and I'm glad we just wanted to hang out. But I'm sorry. Yeah. What's up?
A few things that are like. been explaining it to like any doctor or counselor or anything, you can't fully give like the gravity or like the intensity or the right descriptions of like even the tip of the iceberg, and you just gotta like explain it as best and as well as you can, and they're still like the doctors and everybody, they don't know. Like I don't think any doctor truly knows how well to deal with like mental health problems and what truly will be the solution for you. You just gotta trial and error with like meds and like natural techniques to like get through it. And I'm trying to be on as like the least amount of meds as possible and breathing techniques and like relaxation stuff and even like taking a shower. I mean, it like totally just like relaxes you.
Wow, water totally grounds me.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something we have in common. Water totally grounds me. Holy cow. Like a hot tub or a hot shower? Oh
yeah.
My God.
Definitely.
I'm like a new man. Like, I'm like, whoa.
And you really feel like a new man, too.
I
like,
say, dude, I'm like off my meds for some reason. I pharmacy ran out. I like soak in the hot tub, and I'm like, at least, I don't know. I'm just making a point that water totally grounds me. I'm feeling stressed out, if I don't even need a shower, but I'm just feeling like off or like not quite myself, I'll just jump in the shower real quick and, you know, without soap, whatever, just have the water on me and soak.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely therapeutic, man. And definitely just like, it's like a wave that goes over you when you get out and you're just like, oh, like now I'm all right, at least for like temporarily, you know, and I can make it through when I need to like for you, if you have to get more meds or something, like the shower will just like, I guess, like relax you enough and yeah, you do feel like a new person, you know? And like, I think for me, like every morning I wake up, it's like a reset button. Like after I sleep, after I take my meds at bedtime, and you just wake up and it's a whole new start to a whole new like journey. And I would say like every day is like a battle for sure. Like every day is constant. Like,
dude,
like
fighting. Talk more about that. You wake up each morning. What goes through your head and what happens actually?
Okay. Like leading up to like the morning, like say I'll have like a great day. The euphoria when you're feeling good is like unbelievable. It's like unmatched by like any other drug I've ever tried. And, but then the lows are also too, like the core. It's just like the low is really hurts. Like it really, really hurts. But when I take my meds at bedtime, I wake up, it's just like I open my eyes and it's just like a fresh glass of just like water that's like the right temperature, and it's just like, so open your eyes and ready to take it all in the day and you feel really good. And what I usually do is I just go outside to the backyard and, you know, have a few cigarettes, couple cups of coffee.
Caffeine and cigarettes. Okay. I mean, that 97% of schizophrenics smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Not really anymore, but in the hospitals, like psych wards, they will allow, if you have schizophrenia, to smoke.
See, that's a good
thing.
Back in
the 90s, that was common out here. I mean, these days.
Because I've been worried if I had to go to, like, a mental hospital or something, like, I wouldn't be allowed to smoke, and I'd be like, okay, then I'm really going to, like, flip out.
Dude, let's talk for a little minute about, because that smoke and Coke, not cocaine, but Coke, Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Like soda. Like, there's some science behind that. But, dude.
There's antipsychotic factors to
smoking,
it.
Like, I read this because I was thinking about quitting smoking one time, like, recently, and I realized it was too quick of a decision, like an impulse, so therefore I should not yet. But, pardon me. But, because cigarettes, I read these books on, like, you know, really what cigarettes do to you.
Yeah.
Excuse me, because I just ate something. Cigarettes, apparently, I'm about to stutter, sorry. They exacerbate your nervous system. What am I trying to say? It faster heart rate. It's not actually a relaxant. I'm using the wrong word.
It's a stimulant, right?
Yeah, it's a stimulant. Yeah. But, so it's not that it relaxes me, but I want to hear from you too. The smoking thing, because that's so common with schizophrenics. And I also chew tobacco, but there's something about the
is it,
smoking
is
and
it
tobacco
when, like, think
and
of
the
it,
caffeine then, like, caffeine smoke, or caffeine cigarette.
Just kind of like wakes up your mind and like fills it, and like it's like wakes, you know, like expands it, and like your, it increases concentration for schizophrenics.
Yeah, like the Ritalin for ADHD children. It's kind of like that, is my guess. I mean, I'm just thinking this out. This is kind of cool.
And it is medicinal. It's self-medicating, but I mean, but it's, you know, legal and it's on the market. And a lot of mentally ill people, like usually they smoke cigarettes, and a lot of cigarettes at that. And it's just like a common like lifestyle of like holding a cigarette, ashing it, and the whole act of smoking and the feeling it gives you. And it's just kind of like a nervous jitter, like you have to like get your fix of every now, like every often, you know, and just totally like shakes out the cobwebs, and you're like ready to go, like again. And there is antipsychotic like factors in cigarettes.
Does it reset your attention span too?
Yeah.
Like in a movie, if you take a break, even to leave the movie theater, just to have a smoke, come back
refreshed. Yeah.
You know, it's not just going out without a cigarette; it's going out for a cigarette in movie theaters.
Yeah.
Then you end up missing like some part of the movie that you probably would have been better to see.
Yeah.
That's why I can't go to these movie theaters that are, every movie that's coming out these days are like over 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not like craving a cigarette. It's more like I'm craving, like, that was a good way to put it, the cobwebs lift, something dissipates.
How long does it take you to go through a pack?
To be honest, I don't know. I have little stations, like, on each little patio and desk in this office here. I would say over a pack these days, because lately it's been a little bit more, because there's been actually quite a bit of dosage, mainly, not medicine changes, but dosage changes, and actually a couple new medicines and a couple deleted, whatever the word is, medicines removed. But I mean, a pack and a half.
Yeah.
You know? And
so
I dip, mostly at night in the morning. But I pack very large like amounts of chewing tobacco in my lip. So like more than the average person.
Yeah.
Because with that, dude, I just like to like feel the texture of the certain brand and even the flavor, each one, it's not like OCD, it's like for real. It's just, did you ever dip the
Tried it
Skoll or Copenhagen? Because I need, like when I'm writing or something, like on this book I'm working on with my publisher, it's under pseudonym, guys, but perhaps sometime I'll let you know about it. Just watch it. So in the movie theater, I mean, I have lozenges, the patch that always falls off because it has so much nicotine in me already. But I just like the texture. I mean, honestly, it's just an addiction. It's like all illusion, as they say, you know, like.
And it becomes a bigger, like a greater dependency for like us, because it actually like affects the medications and how they work. And so, like, you latch on to it a little harder. Vitamins, yeah. I mean, I remember, I was at a point where it was, like, scary, like, how much I needed cigarettes. And, like, my family, like, didn't understand, like, when I needed a pack, I really needed a pack. And I would, you know, scrounge up change all over the house, turn over every, you know, couch cushion, looking for any amount, even to get, like, a cheap cigar. And I'd walk 2 miles any day, like time of the day, night, whatever, didn't matter. I had to get like tobacco in my system and to be okay.
It's weird, bro. I'm just remembering as you're saying this, when I was in New York during a pretty psychotic time at one point, and I was drinking pretty heavily, not yet into drugs, but I do remember I was on between four and five packs a day.
Wow.
So that would have been the highest.
So you're just constantly
like
having a cigarette.
Dude, just literally, bro. Like, honestly, I don't even know how that's possible given the hours of the day.
The human body, if you can train it right,
it
you can do like a lot of things.
Crazy.
You can stretch it.
There was like 2 years. It was. I just finished NYU in 98, college, film school. until, yeah, about 2000, I'd say, somewhere in there. And also meditation, bro. I'm big into that, dude. Lately, I haven't been doing so much formal, if anything, just kind of walking mindfulness stuff.
Mindfulness, dude. That's where it's at.
Mindfulness is key. And I have a cognitive behavioral therapist who's like big into that. Really, mindfulness and problem solving.
Yeah.
That's what he says, and that's what his mentor told him, my psychologist.
Are you on any uppers? Like medication?
Nah. Actually, the opposite.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like benzos?
I'm on one benzodiazepine and one antipsychotic with another one that's a PRN, and if needed, medicine. And there's one for diabetes type 2. It's you always have it. Once you get it, you kind of always have it. It's just a preventative to, so it doesn't really exacerbate. I don't even know. Oh, and I'm on a mood stabilizer too, which was recent. Because my moods are rapid cycling, like even by the minute kind of thing. So every half hour, basically, on average, I hyper to depressed. And then hypomania is where I like to be because it's considered a mild mania. Because I have schizoaffective, technically, guys. So there's like a mood, like bipolar, basically, in my case, aspect to it. Like the double whammy thing. But coping mechanisms, I mean, dude, there's so many. Like, I just have my mental toolbox, pick one out of the hat. We were talking about relationships, losing relationships, bro. I've gone through them, relationships, so many times. People can't take me. You know what I mean? Like, people can't. It hurts me, but then it turns out my illness and the effects of it are hurting them. And I have, because I don't see reality or certain things, because I'm delusional.
Yeah.
I know there's a computer there that we're shooting the video. I know we're doing a podcast. It's almost, it comes in metaphors to me, man, or symbolism, like to describe these things.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of what Jung did, Carl Jung. But, like, I know there's a bottle of water here, but then there might not be. It's so bizarre, man.
Yeah,
like, even when I hallucinate people and stuff, like John Nash, like, literally, I still get that on occasion. A little bouts of psychosis. I thought, what if I touched them? I mean, would my hand go through them? But it's so bizarre because I never even thought of shaking their hand or anything. So I just don't know so why is my brain, like, in the movie A Beautiful Mind, John Nash never touched. I don't know, but I don't know what. I know if I video, one time I did videotape, I was with a friend. Not mentally ill or schizophrenic at all. And he said, well, let's videotape it. And it wasn't there. I saw on the videotape like a cloudy, like ghost kind of, like those paranormal, whatever, pictures of ghosts and spirits. But I think there was more like a placebo thing going on, like I would imagine. But no, it wasn't like I saw it in real life. Real life, that's kind of it just gave me like a total mind blow there.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm like thinking of as you're saying all this stuff, like
deliver the discourse, man.
Yeah.
Shoot.
You get tripped out like just thinking about reality and where you're at right now, and I would say it's like I first described it early on as like a radio wave. Like there's like two stations going on. Like you're slipping in and out of like
totally,
two,
bro,
you know?
Totally.
And like there's one wave where you're like there in the moment and you're with it, and then there's like another wave like going on at the same time that you're going dipping in and out of. That's like tripping out that it's really happening at like what you're doing. But about like relationships, definitely affects every single one, and you have to meet the right person that can handle like the exhausting amount of like stuff that you go through every single day, and you gotta like even tone it down and hold back on what you wanna let people know, because I mean, it just tires people out hearing about like your downtimes and.
I know, dude. It's like all I want to talk about. You know?
Yeah, it's on your mind.
The fucking hallucinating, hearing voices, anything, or paranoid. I want to. You know, I like. Dude, check this out. I think it's in Surviving Schizophrenia, the book.
Yeah.
Apathy, bro, is like one of the most, like, hurts others the most. To me, I thought I was giving everybody a break by me just myself just laying down, doing absolutely nothing, basically not thinking, if anything, just hearing the voices come in. But no TV, just sitting there or laying down, doing absolutely, absolutely nothing.
And you don't get bored. You're never bored, even for like hours at a time.
You have that. You
like,
know,
there's something. There's always stuff going on, like racing.
Apparently, that like affects others the worst, like family members, whatever. My wife. I'm like, I thought I'm giving them my illness is giving them a break from me.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. I think it was in that book. Maybe because there's a concern or a worry going on, if there's compassion, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that day I read that, E. Fuller Tully, whatever, I forget how to say his name, who wrote that. Anyway, the author, but dude, like half the stuff I talk about with anyone, they'll talk about the weather and like their kids starting up school or they're going away for the weekend or they traveled or they went to the grocery store and picked up. Like, I don't know. That to me is so like effing dull, man. That's why I'm
compared
glad.
To like, what
like I'm surviving, I'm living, I'm talking. I may not be making everything clear, like my delivery, but I'm being natural, being myself. But I feel like almost bad. Like I'm so like there's so much of schizophrenia and all the other parts that everything that comes with schizophrenia. When I'm, or perhaps I could even say we, as all schizophrenics. Are in a good place, a state of mind that's not broken off from reality completely, you know? Or I mean, I don't know how people just, dude, they talk about the weather. Like some people I know just talk about, or like, I mean, I understand like if someone has kids or something or, but like, has to mention something that happened at the grocery store online, and I mean, I guess I do that too, or I would do that too. I guess just when there's a choice, like lately, this is a good example. People say, "How are you?" Nowadays, I just say I'm fine or whatever. And I'm very public about it, so even the 7-Eleven clerk, I mean, I'll say, like, I'm actually doing really well, and I have a form of schizophrenia, if you can believe that, so I'm doing really well, thank you for asking. And then it often brings up conversation, because they know somebody with bipolar or something else, because mental health conditions happen, I think, 1 in 4 people, basically. But I used to, like, hear, how are you doing? Just, in other words, how are you doing? Fine, how are you? That's... I'd be like, oh, well, you know, and basically talk about my illness or my symptoms.
Because there's, like, so much to go on to answer that question. Like, at any given moment of the day, like, someone's like, how are you doing? There's, like, a lot going on, dude. Like,
last hour,
it was, like, a whole adventure going from, like, this part of town to the other part of town. Besides the traffic, besides everything else that's going on in my head that I've been thinking about and, like, obsessing over, you know? I mean, there's so much that... It's a thick mindset of, like, everyday life.
That's it. It's like, yeah, like profound. It's like things are more profound, right? Like the traffic stuff you went through. It's like beyond just this guy cut me off, and it might just have been that, but it's like, it's just, dude, help me out here.
It's beyond that.
It's so hard
to
explain.
It's like mundane, like just going through traffic, going through anything, like walking places, anywhere you're at. I mean, because you're in your own little world, and I wanted to bring this up earlier. I mean, a lot of times, like growing up or like any time, like throughout my life, like I had to become like my own best friend to make it through and journal through. And because a lot of people will bail and they will just leave when you go through like anything real life and a real life problem. They don't know what to say, or they just avoid the whole thing together. And you just kind of have to make it on your own and like be forced.
Be
to,
your
like,
own hero. You do nothing they can't say will help. That's
right.
The thing. And that puts them in a frustrated position.
Exactly.
My life all the time. Everything I do or say won't help. It's like,
they can't even comprehend like a fraction of what you're going through.
Like,
now.
Dude, my wife Maureen, who's on here sometimes on the podcast, but and she'd be okay with me saying this. But how are you? Oh, honey, I got very little sleep. I'm actually very paranoid, just so you know. So I don't want anyone to visit me. I'm going to stay next door in the guest house, at least till this passes. And I end up on my own hero. I'm my own hero that day. But here, if anything negative, it's not just, oh, I woke up crabby. It's like more than that, okay? So I hear back, that sucks, or that stinks. Or, I'm sorry, that sounds horrible. And this is so common. And I have another issue we'll talk about because my doctor after this or whenever if it comes up. But dude, what I want to hear is literally the impossible.
Yeah.
I want to hear the magic pill. I want to hear an effing cure.
Yeah.
Dr. F, she's still my doctor. I don't think you see her anymore.
Nah.
But I mean, to me, recovery. I mean, there's a handful of schizophrenics that I know personally, and they're around who have very good jobs.
Yeah.
Lawyers, Ellen R. Sachs, an author. I'm friends with her. I've never met her in person, but we talk, we email about every 6 months, check up on each other. But she wrote The Center Cannot Hold. It's a great autobiography on schizoaffective. On her, it's almost full of ashtray. Dude, just sorry. Can you help me? What was I saying? Do you kind of? These thoughts go out of my head, bro.
Like when someone tells you like a response.
Oh yeah,
that
sucks. I just want the magic pill. So Dr. F. Like I was trying to say recovery means recovery means. Like, yeah, I'm recovered, and we're always recovering, yeah. But to me, like, one time, Dr. F said, like, because I was doing great on this medicine I was on about a year ago, I started it. And she said, well, I don't want you to be great. I want you to be really great. So let's go up 10 milligrams, you know? So I said, okay, but I'm okay here, but I hear you. There's still some stuff. I think people, like the everyday person who's familiar with mental health, let's say somewhat, or let's just use that as an example, I will. But recovery, like what would be the difference between recovered, or recovered, like that book, Recovered Not Cured. I don't know how much you read about this stuff, but to me, man, if you're like living a cool job and still have the illness, but like you're barely symptomatic, I guess would be recovered or at least, you know, recovered enough. I don't know how to put it or how they'd even put it. I mean, I would too. I have my bad days. I just think that recovery to me means recovered, I think is synonymous with cure. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that it's that way, and that I feel that way, because there are so many like neurotransmitters and parts of the brain that misfire in the wrong places. Check it out. I blogged about this once within a blog post I did on Porcelain Utopia, and the thermostat, I saw it as, I have dyslexia, but that didn't matter. I saw it, whatever number it was, and it wasn't changing, like that's often the dyslexia, but I was boiling hot, and also temperature, like homeless people with a lot of coats and sweaters on in the heat of the summer in the desert, they could very well be schizophrenic. Like, it's kind of common, I think. Temperature, it's not regulated in my body.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I said, honey, would you come here? The place is 78 degrees. And it was actually like 68 or something. I said, you see 68. I see a 70, and it's boiling hot in here. Look at me, honey. I'm sweating, you know?
Yeah.
He said, Jonathan, it is actually freezing in here right now. And I see 60. It's right there. It's 60. That was actually one of the most literal like times of like, I guess, a hallucination that I had. It was really, but the number part of the, it's a digital thermometer, but just the fact that I was like, honey, it's like so freaking hot in the guest house or in my office. Someone else just says, or a caregiver, whomever, actually, Jonathan, I'm freezing my ass off, you know?
Yeah. I've had, like, other hallucinations.
I'm always changing the temperature all throughout the day. Sorry, what's up?
I have like, an ongoing, like, hallucination, like, a smell, like, a burning smell.
Oh, my God, so common. Pot and fire.
Yeah.
I just reality check. I go, okay, I'm sure the club, my hot club is not on fire. Just check it out just to make sure. Because do you have a reality mediator, reality checker? Do you ask somebody you trust who knows you?
I used to. Now I kind of know. Like,
dude, it's crazy.
Me. And then I used to have this thing where, like, I'd be thinking, like, laying in bed at night, and there'd be, like, a thought, like, going through my head. And at the same exact time, to, like, coincide with that thought, there'd be a noise in the house, like a creak, television, or sprinklers turning on at the exact same time. And I would take that as, like, significance and, like, interpreting that as a sign, as, like, something from, like, an ultimate good power or an ultimate bad power trying to communicate with me somehow.
I know, dude. And that alone. Like, say that to the common person. Ultimate good power. I mean, you know what I mean? It sounds crazy, whatever.
But it's real,
dude,
to you when
I,
you're going,
dude, it's
through
so
it.
Real. The voices. Like, I barely hear them. Like, now I don't hear any, but after I was talking about them before, it just came to, like chitter chatter, like way background on my mind, but now there's none. There's just a slight depersonalization. I also didn't have the full amount of hours of sleep I needed, but the quality of sleep I got was very good last night. But actually, so that could be a lot to do with just simple sleep deprivation, because I am sleep deprived today, guys. But by the way, we can go on for as long as we want.
I'm just gonna use the bathroom real quick.
Sure, dude.
I'll be right back.
Gonna go to the bathroom. I'll just talk. I'll say my piece. I kind of have to go through. But I'm going to pack a dip or something. Guys, so Josh is a good friend of mine. Now, we connected immediately. And I'm glad he's here on the Real Me podcast. And things in my life have been going well overall. Relationship issues have been actually very difficult. And traumatic flashbacks, literally mostly, have been occurring. I'm literally broke right now. On paper, I'm extremely wealthy. I think any of you who know the things I've written about publicly, about the losses, about people taking advantage of me. And yesterday, I went out shopping for a frame for something I wanted to hang on my wall. And the store, and on the way back with vendors on the street in our village here, I wanted to like either buy everything or look at things. And my wife was on a, she was driving, I don't drive anymore. She was on a time constraint, and I just felt so bad, guilty, guilt, shame, that I actually didn't deserve to have my own money that I made from a very important patent I did back when I was 15 years old. I don't want to talk too much about that because it ends up bringing up basically flashbacks, and also flashbacks of feelings, if that makes sense, of hurt, of disdain, and people taking advantage of me. I'm just kind of talking about people taking advantage of me, and like due to my like disability abuse, I guess. Hey, it's cool to switch.
Yeah,
dude.
People do that, man.
Hey, by the way, man, when you left, I felt really really comfortable, like really in touch with. With the camera, like with, you know, I should be looking up there, but I'm trying to make sure we're kind of both in view, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you just scoot on over, I know it's backwards. It's like a, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Just a webcam, guys. But no, man, I felt this like I was just saying how. Yesterday, my wife and I went out to a store to get an art store. So they had all sorts of arts and crafts, and also posters and signs. And which I love. I have it all around here in the club. Because of my financial issues due to disability abuse, as I put it, that I kept seeing things that I wanted to buy or at least look at or consider. Like I really like to have it at my house or something. And there's also so much redecorating over in the main part of the of our I almost said the word estate, that would be so pompous, of our house here.
It's a big house.
I just felt such intense feelings of, you know, I just had to just straight go to the register from the back of the store to get the frame, go to the register, pay, and go. My wife had to pay because I'm out of money.
I was going
to
ask
I'm not given money. And I felt such grief. That's a word. Because I couldn't afford. I can't even afford an iTunes song right now. So it's just like I just have the hope, right, that the money will come. Someone, my accountants who are all whatever messed up, not on my behalf. My wife disagrees totally. It's also baffling. But the trauma came up about, I can't even look at this stuff because there's no way I can ever have it. Let me get the screensaver off. But then what happens is I end up coping with anything that's negative about being taken advantage of, for example. But mainly, I end up burying it. And then sometimes it explodes into some kind of anger or tantrum kind of thing. But my psychologist, we were talking about this a few weeks ago when it started really bringing it up. I brought it up. Well, he asked me what I do with all these events that caused Jonathan, me, distress. And how to thus eliminate as much distress or the events that cause distress as possible. And I don't think it's that possible. But there seems no way out of this like rabbit hole. At the same time, I carry on with life. Josh came by. I waited outside the front to make sure remember I was like going, I'm fun, I'm Jonathan, I'm like wildly eccentric, like loving, carefree, you know. I was alone, you know, not lonely, just I have a guy friend. Most of the women in my life are women. I can talk trash kind of stuff with Josh here, being a guy, and you know, I live it normal. I can convey, say the cops show up, right? Dude, I can't even, it's a whole different story. You go right into like, okay, I'm centered. I'm fucking sorry, but I'm, you know, I could pass a competency test. Cause, dude, if I get I'm getting all manicked up, man. If I get a sprained ankle or something, man, I don't go to the hospital. I should have gotten stitches. I cut myself in a huge piece of glass because I'm so afraid. Cause the hospital stigmatizes, and because of my social security number shows, but like that on paper, I'm very wealthy. It's just not in my access. I'm a high ticket item in the psych wards. It's key, you know.
Yeah.
So it's happened so many times. So I try my best not to go to the hospital. One time recently, a few weeks ago, I hadn't slept in almost 2 weeks. I had such bad insomnia. So my two doctors and my wife were suggesting I go to the hospital just to get a shot of something to sleep for one night to catch up some. And I was just on a manic working mode. I wrote like 100 pages every night. It was crazy, all this stuff. And I just wouldn't go to bed. I wasn't at all tired, not even having caffeine. Or just normal amounts, like a couple sodas a day. And I don't even drink much coffee at all. I don't like the taste of it even. But, dude, like, they hear schizophrenia. Yeah, it's coming back to, like, what we're talking about people's opinions or
beliefs. And if a cop hears schizophrenia, they will have guns drawn.
Dude, the elite. Dude, totally, man. Like, this small village, bro, thank God, because they used to be called up to come take me away 5 times a year. Now it's been 4 years or five, 4 years, I think. They have come actually twice, but once, but for different people, not me.
Hmm.
Once for somebody who was working here, had like a seizure, and somebody else had like a close up throat from tonsillitis.
So how did they react to you?
No, my point is, small village, they now know me and are aware that, but like, they also came, one time we came home and one of the doors that was like hidden behind a bush and stuff was open. And sometimes we fixed it, but that door would actually open on its own because it wasn't latched right, whatever happened. So we decided it's probably nothing. I mean, it's gated up anyway, our house. So we just thought, oh, let's just call them, you know, and see if they could just come by and do a search and, you know, because who knows? Let's not be on Dateline NBC because we walked into a house and got murdered, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, dude, and so the cops came. They're local, so there's only like, it's very, you know, there's only like 7,000 people in this town.
Yeah.
So it's a very small community. And so, you know, I went out and said, oh, hi, guys. Hey, I remember you. Yeah, you. Yeah, I've been doing a lot better. So I hear, yeah, your wife is telling me. You seem great. You lost a ton of weight. I'm like, yeah. I just, you know, I feel like this kind of need almost to like, you know, for them to know like, if anything happens, at least I just saw him. He was fine, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, when I'm psychotic, I mean, these documentaries I shot, it's pretty sick stuff. I turned it into a Nazi, and Nazis would have a field day with my ass. Because I'm half Jewish, actually the same way Hitler was, the same whatever great aunt or whatever in the bloodline. And it, to me, has to do with symbols and the, not the hatred of, but I end up being, when I'm psychotic, like having a psychotic break, I'm a Nazi racist, like anti, like, but only, as I say in one of the, maybe the deleted scenes version of one of the documentaries, it's because to me the F word is just not enough. So you fucking, you know, and they use some really like horrible slang. But it's really anger towards myself, man. Therefore, really the illness. There's such freaking guilt that comes with it, man.
I have a story about that too.
Go on it, man.
I would say in my experience, even like people I love, like an ex relationship I had, my ex-fiance, I mean, there'd be moments, like a lot, where I would say things, I was just pure, just mad and like hurtful things. And it's like a verbal just attack, and it attacks everything that you know will hurt them.
Exactly.
Cause you know,
I'm not actually a racist. It has to do with the power of the words I'm using. Does that make sense? I'm sorry, because I said I turned into a racist. Not a racist, but appearing to be as if a racist. I need to make that clear.
Yeah.
Because I'm half Jewish. So, I mean, my mother's side, too. And anyway, sorry, I just wanted to clarify that because I've never been racist. I mean, I'm handicapped, I'm half Jewish, and anyway, that's enough said right there.
Yeah, man, and that's a good point. Like, you say things even though they aren't really, like, what your true intent, like, where your heart is, but you know exactly what buttons to push.
Yeah.
You know what's going to trigger them to, like, really damage, like, their whole mood and feeling, and you know, like... I don't know, it's just a verbal assault.
I'm a freaking pro at that. Text message. And dude, the mess, like email or text or something, not in person. And then in person, it's like, I'm so sorry. You know, I was just going through a heck of a time, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, there are times, dude. I learned to tame that down majorly. When I get like a negative thing, like from my wife, even interpersonal stuff, like any husband and wife, I just go, okay, let me breathe on this one. Let me just take a moment. And if anything, I do the 24-hour thing. I say, let me sleep on this.
Yeah.
But if I have some money on hand, I want to buy something online, let me sleep on it. Do I really need Logic version number 10, the new version of Logic for music, creating music for, like, for my band Schizophrenic and Caregiver? But no, I have 9. It works fine. For whatever reason, I don't need to upgrade to 10. Because they're charging like I think $200 for the $200 for the upgrade, but there I go. I lost it, totally what I was talking about or what we were talking about. But see, that's
about
part
like
of
teeny,
my that's part of my part of the illness, and I think he seems. At some point, let's do like a self analysis, like
sure,
like how I think. I think you're, I think we're both coming across some different. Sorry, I should face the camera or the mic. I think Josh and I are coming across differently. I also think I noticed that my kittens is in the back.
Yeah.
And often I'm wrong about that. And often, like, there's a line in my film On the Bus, which I got to show you, that I'm being inappropriate. My doctor says I'm inappropriate. Dude, I'm sorry. These thoughts are getting sucked in. I'm forgetting what we're talking about.
I think you were saying like
we're coming across differently, and I'm probably wrong about it. But I thought that I started off that I'd become more and more.
Hey, I wanted to ask
manically,
you.
Manic,
so when you're in any store, how do you handle like standing in line anywhere?
I always have to be with somebody in a freaking line. I don't get it. I don't stand on lines at all.
Even
for
like
whatever
buying
reason.
Cigarettes or something, like, and there's like a long line at Walgreens or something. Like, how do you, like, what happened? Like, because I get like panicky and I have to like actually like force myself to focus on like,
first of all,
checking
lights,
out, like,
halogen lights, brutal to me. Costco, I was one time I was in a Walmart. They're like super huge. Well, you guys all know what Walmarts are. I'm a little privileged. I've been to one once, but I have a shopper. I'm allotted money enough for me to survive, basically, guys. That's my scenario in a nutshell. The lights, claustrophobic, but, dude, it's so hard to explain. But lines, man, waiting. Even movies I'm enjoying or not, I want them to end. That's why I like just watching an episode of Seinfeld, man. Like, that is so, like, normal, which I don't want to. I gotta read serious freaking books, read only about mental health and like you know, like learning stuff and watching movies that I know for a fact they're gonna make a profound impact on me. Some of this is like directly, as I said in one of the documentaries, everything has such a deep meaning. And then when those deep meanings, you know, create a storyline after storyline, therefore, you know, that's what, there's a blog I have, but I think the title Demystifying Schizophrenia or something, on jharnish.com. Anyway, Milt Greek talks about this too. There's a storyline that builds up until the psychosis is full blown. There's also if you look up schizophrenia, the invaluable moment, I think it's called, or search invaluable moment on jharnish.com, jharnish. At Twitter, by the way, I'm at jwharnish, jwharnish. But just FYI, and porcelainutopia.com goes to the zine version. But the heck was I saying again? Oh, never mind, because I want to change the subject. I don't care why, why that is. And now I forgot what that was, but hold on. Because, oh, God. So weird, man. But see, what just happened there, I realized it just, like, whatever, zoned out. About 100 and something thoughts came in. Or I don't know if they were even thoughts or... So if you're, like, on my film series prototype, part of the prototype series, their film series, there's 1,000 tracks of audio at the same time, so it's just, like, noise, basically. That's how the thoughts came in. I couldn't even make out one of them. So that's when I end up. My executive function, thinking, or however you freaking call it, creates this thing where I can't put things in order. When I do write my novels, often mostly under pseudonym or pen name. A new one coming out in probably next year, early next year. It's with a publisher now, but I write my literature in screenplay format because I'm trained that way. But also because it's very structured and simplified. And if I write novels or things, I just do stream of thought. Because it's easier. I cannot sequence things. And it comes out verbally, and thus my wife, one of my doctors out of the two, can follow me. One time I had a roommate, whatever, in the last psychiatric hospital I had to be in 2010. And when I lost my fortune for that, whatever reason, it's not my own doing, but I freaked out basically. I got very ill. My roommate, nobody would talk to him. He was a big guy named Brutus. And he appeared like homeless. I don't know. I was thinking of him the other day, that this was a few years back, hoping he was okay. He spoke so quickly and, you know, but JFK, the president, and then the president, White House, then D.C., Washington, D.C., then he went to D.C., he took a plane flies, then he saw a bird flies too. In other words, it was they all related. So often, especially in a manic episode or any hyperactivity going on, I'll just go from subject to subject. I'm really curious to hear myself back on this. Often I will voice memo or something myself just to hear myself talk back.
So it was a trip hearing your voice too. It's like I sound like them.
Actually, I'm kind of... I understand
you,
it.
Yeah, you're
but
used
since
to
I've been doing this for so long, even in general, and talking to the camera, only for the past like 5 years have I like talked into the camera. A lot of my old documentary footage was just kind of me alone, just kind of filming the monotony of life, like the movie Slacker or something, but totally alone. That's why a lot of my films and stuff are like isolation, suffocation, kind of metaphorically, and world within my wall, you know, like imprisonment, you know. That's how I feel, man. Like, that's what my life is like, you know. The fact that we have a 6,000 square foot house there is a 1,200 square foot guest house. It's my office, my hot club, it's my little man cave. I had a penthouse apartment, huge three bedroom. I take the smallest little bedroom, it's basically the size of a bathroom, for my little place to only be. And since I can afford the big house or big apartment, I mean, yeah, it's fun, but I end up gravitating to the more cozy places.
I know,
and do you feel, it may not be totally your taste, but do you feel why this might be cozy for me? All the colors and clutter and posters and my things. I mean, I don't know. The books, I mean, I read them. I'm not going to toss them. I gave away a bunch that I didn't need. But I mean, to me, I want to see a mirror of myself. I film myself because I want to understand myself. I want to know myself. I want to parent myself. I want to be myself. Sorry, this is all like sounds weird, like what do you call it? The word melodramatic poetry, whatever. I read the books on schizophrenia so much. I'm so like well read in that stuff because I need and movies with any schizophrenic character or the woman from Bones, Emily Deschanel, or Sheldon, what's his name from The Big Bang Theory. They have like this Asperger's thing going on. I see myself in them. The social cues not being picked up. Temple Grandin, it's not that much of an autistic thing, but myself. But I relate. I want to see myself in other people. And that's why I'm with you. Like, there's an instant, for me, there's an instant, but even on the phone. I think we talked once before because I asked you. I think it was really brief, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember really.
I'd say it was a good 30, 45 minutes, man. But it's always brief because there's so much to say.
And my memory's photographic, but it'll be 3 to 5 years till I remember that. Then I'll remember it word for word. Anyway, that's just a weird thing I have. But right away, dude, I felt like we have different lives and different experiences with our illness because everyone does. But I felt immediately drawn to like ask and or say anything I wanted to, and he wouldn't judge me, and he would not, more than that, he would totally without hesitation, without saying, oh my god, but yeah, like Josh could have come over today for the first time to meet me in person, and let's go to like 1:35, then we can have like an hour and a half, okay?
Sure.
Because we don't want to keep you guys, like, too much, I mean, who knows. But, dude, you got to come back. We do this again, you know?
I'm down, dude.
Totally.
Down.
How far away do you live?
I live over, like
minutes.
Just stay on the freeway.
I don't know the road.
15,
man.
20 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Tops.
This rocks, dude. I always come on here. When I do, I end up at least eventually saying, I'm so glad I needed this. The camera, I need the therapy of the camera. I just talk to myself when I'm alone. I don't put the stuff out, most of it. I have over 600 tapes of them, or they're digitized. But whatever I was saying, dude, I just like to see myself in others. I want to understand. I want to not understand. I don't even want to actually be understood by others. I like the mystery of Jonathan. But I like the never a dull moment with Jonathan. I like my eccentricity and my mania, and then I have aloja, right? You know, where I cannot talk.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I have things I want to say. I'm locked in my own mind, man. And I'm totally, like, in recovery, like today. It's like right now, dude, then I'd say, Josh, I'm going to go lay down. Or actually, what I would rather do is just go, just without saying it. This is very, like, symptomatic. We'd be doing this, and I would just get up, walk away, lay down, and sit there, like just be there. Then, at that point, you even having the same condition that was different, though with different experiences, it's like that's kind of well, we're in the middle of doing a podcast. You just kind of got up and went to go sit down, lay down. Like, what, we're on the air kind of thing. Like, but that happens a lot.
Yeah. I know the urgency, when you have to get out of a situation, you have to get out immediately, or you will, like, in certain, like, anxiety levels, like, you shut down, or at least I do, and it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
And it's a strong, strong flight that I have to just go immediately, no matter where I'm at, get in my car, go home, lay in bed, and if I can't go anywhere, I just shut down emotionally. I can't speak like how you said, and I don't know how to force out words, and I can't interact with anybody, and it sucks, you know?
Call us crazy. We're okay with it. We talked about it earlier, otherwise I wouldn't have said that. Now, we say it to make light of it, you know, because, like I say, anything you laugh at can't be true, you know? So, but, hey, check it. If you would, bro, check this out. The I'm off camera. If you would, I could just see it through here. If you would, I'm not staring at you, audience viewers. I'm staring at Josh, who's over there, or whatever. Because the camera's backwards. Never mind that. Josh, I'd like to hear from you as I stare into the camera, look into the soul, my eyes, the direct access. Do I look at? Let me take off my glasses. Josh, what I'd like to hear, what I'd love to hear, bro, is like, dude, like, it's not a test, it's a bad word, a test, but like, dude, I totally trust you. I just want to hear how you think, like how you saw that I have come across in this podcast, because I have no idea, but I think I was very, very scattered, and I just want to hear your take and my take on you.
Okay.
This might be, can I say mine first? Cause it's really simple.
Sure.
Yours might be too. I don't know, but I felt disorganized, I guess, and anyway, Josh, I felt that, honestly, I know you don't take this the wrong way, but I don't see the symptoms. I don't see you as, I wouldn't go, oh, that guy obviously just has something off with him. Ever since you've been here, I didn't see anything like that. And for me, I would totally see an exacerbation. Eccentricity, wild fun.
There's a reason.
Confusion. Anyway, I didn't see anything that would in public, but I had a conversation with you, kind of. Oh, I got the same thing. I like that. Yeah. I wouldn't see any. I wouldn't pick up anything about that, about your schizophrenia, and you're a paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah.
I would never, at this point, I would never see a sign. Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, I'll get what I think about you too. Like, but to answer a lot of people, I get that reaction a lot. I've gotten in arguments with people about like saying I'm not schizo.
Wow.
It's such like a mild case, and it is definitely there. I mean, every single day, I know it's there, and ever since I've been sober, like 8 weeks now, it's taken on a whole new level. It's starting all over again from where I was when I was 18, and I'm not abusing substances anymore. But it's definitely very controlled and manageable. But I mean, in this like environment, like how you said, the house, and even just, you know, your personality, I feel comfortable, and I'm still like really nervous, and like I'm kind of like tightly bound. I'm kind of like, I'm not really loosen up right now. You know what I mean? Like.
Not quite. Can you explain that more?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not, like, free-flowing as, like, I would, like, say, like, a best friend that I've known since childhood or I haven't seen in a while. You know what I mean? Like I'm still, like, unrolling, you know, unraveling and stuff like that. I don't know, but, yeah, it's very controlled, and I'm very aware of, like, self-conscious even of, like, how I'm acting and what I'm doing at all times.
Yeah.
And so I know how to just keep it maintained and managed. And I'm right now on the medication combo. It is the best I've ever had in 9 years. It's not perfect. And I mean, if you were to read my journal entries, man, I mean, you would see me just, it's manic. And I get manic episodes where I just ramble and ramble and ramble. And people like get dizzy and confused because I'm just talking so much and I don't
stop.
People
cry with me, actually, literally.
Yeah.
Crazy? I get so intense they cry.
I can see.
Especially women, girlfriends. Sometimes I'll be directing an actor in film school or just after, or audition an actor, and I'd end up just talking. Like afterwards, we kind of become friends or some, or work on a character together for some student film or something. But see, I don't take that personally. Like, I don't feel that, well, I should be that long lost friend that you just haven't seen in years. That was his honest feeling, and I take nothing. I have very paranoid tendencies, but it's more of people taking advantage of me. I guess what I'm thinking is, I cannot wait then to see the unraveled, literal version of you, because when I meet someone, it's actually, for me, more of a flaw, a character flaw that I will even paid people like that work for me, like even for, on a very professional level, get so personal with them, which then ends up backfiring on me. But let me say this: I'm a hermit, so I rarely leave the house, basically only out of need. My doctor is right down the street, like 5 minutes away, and my psychologist comes here to see me. Massage therapist comes here. Anyway, I have somebody that shops for me, drives me, if not my wife. These freaking thoughts keep going on in my head, but they come back. It does feel good to be out. I always forget, but man, let's stay out for a few hours. And then it actually gets a little too long. So my wife actually timed it's actually 1 hour or 2 hours. Like 2 hours if it's half hour to get to dinner, 1 hour to eat, half hour back.
Yeah.
Anything over 2 hours, dude, I'm like need PRN, as needed medicine to like calm the anxiety. Because there's overstimulation of just stimuli.
Yeah.
Things, lights, people, chatter.
And I'd say, like, when you go into
it
a
all
store,
comes in at once.
You, like, notice but, everything going on, like, all
yeah,
around.
Yeah, it's crazy,
like,
dude.
Person walking over here, the light flickering up here.
At the same time.
All
at
once,
you don't know what
yeah.
to make. And then someone's talking to you. What? I because not that there's so many people talking or even voices in your head, but just because every aspect, the lights, the large room, for me at least, of a Walmart or Costco or something, it just floods me with environmental stimuli.
So
and I'll pick up pieces of conversation here and there, and it's like, okay, I can hear you, but I can't, you're blending in with the same, with the person back there, and that group over there chit-chatting, and the cash machine, whatever, making noise, and the PA system thing, they're calling some price check. It's all coming in at the same time, the same amount of power. You know, does that happen to you?
Yeah. I just, when I like get overwhelmed, anytime I go out, I just kind of, I come off as like very cold.
Is this one mine, bro?
I think that's mine.
Okay.
I come off like as very cold and reserved and like, you know, I'm not really like a smiling kind of guy, like to people I see just because I'm more afraid of, like, everybody else. And so, like, I never really make eye contact with people in the store.
Dude, when you watch TV or look at people, do you look in their eyes or where's their freaking mouth? They're talking from their mouth. People looking in the eye. And the eyes, I never, ever have. I think in voices and pictures. And why look in the eye? I shoot these documentaries. I show my eyes because I know they tell a lot. But I'm like, I don't understand you guys. I posted once on Facebook. I don't understand you guys. What's with the looking in people in the eyes when they talk? Or TV? I look at the mouth. That's where they're talking from. But also, there's in person, there's an intimacy that I'm uncomfortable with. That actually, I got through therapy working that out.
I had to train myself, dude, to look, keep eye contact. Like, it's all, like, mechanical.
It's craziness. But, bro, take us to an ending, because I got to go to the bathroom and, go out, get some fresh air and stuff, man.
Yeah.
Let's kick this down. Let's,
I would say, you know, you can talk about schizophrenia for any amount of time, and I don't think, like, the normal people, like, normies would still get in like a as much a clue as what it really entails unless like you really go through it. And I mean, I would ask anybody that has any questions or anything that are wondering about mental illness or schizophrenia in specific, like any question at all. I mean, I'll answer anything. You might answer anything, and anything that people are wondering or have always wondered or anything, you know what I mean, like about anything to do with like chemical imbalances. I mean, I'm pretty open to it.
I'm not cool about letting out my new contact information, but
well, not
I can
put my shit online and like, you know, like have people messaging me questions and then.
Well, actually, on the Podbean that the realme.podbean.com, the Facebook comments, do that, right? And YouTube, I can open up because I could just extract the audio from this for the podcast, but if anything, I think just a YouTube video.
Okay. Yeah.
So, guys, hello on YouTube. Google Hangout, basically. Dude, sign us off, bro. Then I'll end it totally.
All right. So, this is Josh Lewin and Jonathan wrapping up your podcast today about schizophrenia, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
I sure hope so. Thanks a lot, guys, for tuning in. And again, hopefully we'll catch you another time. I do like this video format. I've got to rearrange how we're doing the camera and things. And if the audio level, which I don't see or hear, is coming out, I'm guessing it's fine. We'll set up, even if we do set up the laptop to, like, then, you know, but like far away or something, we'll figure it out. But this is a great start and might be the return of the Real Me podcast. I have a subscription to the cast feed to the Podbean thing for the next 9 months or so. So we'll see. And if I don't come back, I mean, it might just take some time. Keep subscribing. Dude, I suppose I'll put on audio. So guys, those who listened on audio only, YouTube, I guess in the about section of the podcast, I'll put the link or something, because I don't know when I'm gonna. You want to come up with a title, then we'll say goodbye.
Title for this podcast?
Whatever. I'll just put the link on the realme.podbean.com, which will then go to iTunes. The description for the video feed, probably just on YouTube. Signing off. Dude, we still have time. We could watch this back together if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Peace, homies. Great meeting you.
See you, man.
We're going to stay friends. I know it, bro.
We will, dude.
We're going to be sober, clean, strong, and friends, bro. I feel it, dude. You live close by. I've been vibrating. I feel a connection with you, man.
I do too, man.
And it's not because we both have schizophrenia. Necessarily.
I mean, we'll probably even like connect like even more after this podcast because
I know
like,
that's what I want to go to because I want to just like
the camera like watching, you know.
Honestly, even sitting here for an hour and a half or so has been like kind of freaking difficult.
Yeah,
because I'm getting like rest like movie theater. We can go on and on, so we will another time. Okay, bye guys. We're gonna sign off for now. Enjoy. Where's the camera? I can't see it. It's all backwards. Okay, bye guys. Woo! Screenshot. Okay, bye. Here, turn this off. Okay.